The following was recorded live from the sanctuary of Bethel Worship Center, Tuppers Plains, Ohio, reaching the world for Jesus Christ from Meigs County. Join us now and experience an exciting message from our pastor, Rob Barber.
Awesome God we serve, and here we are in 2016 already. It's incredible, isn't it? 2015 has just gone by so quickly, and who knows what's in store for 2016, but I can tell you this, God is on our side. God is with us. He'll never leave us, and He'll never forsake us. We need to look to our God for all of our resources, all of our ability to be able to cope with whatever comes our way. This world is a crazy place, but our God is in control. And we must continue to remember and place our emphasis on serving Him and drawing close to Him. Most of the time, people make New Year's resolutions. How many made a New Year's resolution? Anybody? Yes, I'm sorry. Teens, you can be dismissed. Nobody in here makes New Year's resolutions anymore? Okay, you are smart people. Why do it? Right. Because most people, the percentage of people keeping New Year's resolutions is very low. However, this is a good time to make a resolution that you're going to get closer to God. This is a good time to decide that you're going to do something about your relationship or for your relationship with Almighty God that's going to draw you closer to Him. My message this morning is going to be concerning that, and I don't know exactly how far I can get with this morning, because I want to make sure that we just, you know, our purpose here on Sunday morning is not to wear people out. Our purpose is to have the Holy Spirit lead and direct us and speak into people's lives. So I do feel like I have some things that I need to share with you this morning in regards to the time that we are in and what God is speaking into your life. I think it goes along with everything that has happened this morning in this service. It always just amazes me how God coordinates things. I know that you all probably thought that what happened with worship and what Ivy spoke and every song was a practice and the flag was a part of, you know, being prepared. But the honest truth is, God just took over. You know, Tony didn't know she was going to be doing the flag until right before the service. Ivy had no idea what was the name of that song that you sang it in? Voice of the Lord. She God stirred that in her spirit in our prayer time. She said, I haven't thought of that song for years. And God just dropped it in place. I want to thank Brother Ron for bringing that flag to us. The Lion of the Tribe of Judah. Oh my goodness. It is awesome. It was perfect for this place and this morning. What I'm trying to tell you this morning is that God is in control if we will let Him be in control. But He'll never push us aside, take over our will, because He's created us to be free moral agents with a will that can either choose Him or choose our own direction. This morning we're going to look at some scripture in Haggai. And I'll have to give you a little bit of historical background as we go through this. But what I want to say to you this morning is, the title of this message, The Time Has Come. You will see as we read some of this morning, that the people of Haggai's day were saying, the time has not come. But God made it perfectly clear to them through the prophet, the time has come. the time has come to get back to doing the work of the Lord, to get back to serving Him. The time has come. You've done your own thing long enough. Let's get back into the presence of God. Many of the people of God, I believe, are what Andy Stanley called directionally challenged. We're not heading in the right direction. You know, we start out many times with good intentions, but things happen. Look, this is not a message of condemnation. This is a message of encouragement. I want to encourage you. That's what God sent the prophet Haggai and Zechariah to the people of Israel during the time that we're going to be looking at, when they were to be rebuilding the temple. And He wasn't condemning them. He was just saying, listen, you've gotten off track. Get back. Get back to your first love. Get back to where God wants you to be. Because stuff happens. Stuff happens in our families that get us off track. Stuff happens in our work or our business, our career, that get us off track. Stuff happens in our community and in our nation and in the world that sometimes just gets us off track. It's not a sudden thing that happens. It's gradual. But we were going true north, and suddenly we just gradually start going this direction. And before long, we're headed south instead of north, like we're supposed to be with God. And we look at ourselves and say, how did we get here? It wasn't something that just happened overnight, but it's something that the enemy planned. His desire is to move you away from the presence of God. But God has a word for you this morning. The time has come. Get back to where you're supposed to be. Because that happens just like this, when you make a decision to do it. And that's what I'm saying this morning. Maybe it is time to make a New Year's resolution, all of us. We're going to get back to God's will. We've been doing our own thing for too long. We're going to get back to God's will. In 1929, UCLA played, trying to remember the school. I've got it in my notes here. Georgia Tech. UCLA played Georgia Tech for the Rose Bowl. And it was expected to be a tough game. Well, during the game, Georgia Tech fumbled. And a guy by the name of Roy Riggles picked up the fumble. It was in the midst of the turmoil. He picked up the fumble and he ran 65 yards. The problem was, he was going in the wrong direction. If it wasn't for his teammate, Benny Lom, who chased him down and stopped him right before he went into the goal line, he would have scored for the other team. The poor guy, can you imagine? He picked that ball up and he was running down the field. He had visions of being a hero. And all of a sudden, he realizes, because he had a good friend, a teammate that stopped him, he realizes he's going in the wrong direction. And I got to tell you, this is embarrassing for him, because now forever he has been called wrong way Riggles for the rest of his whole life. People, no, it's not nice, but it's true. He was going in the wrong direction. The people of Israel that we're going to be talking about, they were going in the wrong direction. And God sent the prophet Haggai and Zechariah to write that direction, to get them back on track. God has sent prophets and his word, and this morning he sent Pastor Rob to tackle you just before you go in the end zone for the other team so we can get this thing turned around. Amen? All right. Now, I say that, but I need this message just as much as you do. I need to hear my own words. As I was preparing this message, God was speaking to my heart. He was telling me, you know, you need to get back. Not that, now listen, I'm not saying that we're all horrible sinners. I'm just saying that we're not completely where God wants us to be. And if we can get in his perfect will, I can guarantee you the blessings of God will just flow over us like that river I was talking about earlier. But we have some decisions to make. I believe he's telling you the same thing that he was telling the people of Haggai's day. Let's go to Haggai chapter 1, verse 1 through 7. In the second year of King Darius, in the sixth month, on the first day of the month, the word of the Lord came by Haggai the prophet to Zerubbabel, the son of Shealtiel, governor of Judah, and to Joshua, the son of Jehozadak, the high priest, saying, "Thus speaks the Lord of hosts, saying, this people says, the time has not come, the time that the Lord's house should be built." Now, he's speaking to us. He's saying, we may be saying it's not time to get into the Lord's will, but God is saying it's time to correct your direction. Then the word of the Lord came by Haggai the prophet, saying, Is it time for you yourselves to dwell in your paneled houses and this temple to lie in ruins? I'll explain some of this as we get into this. Now, therefore, thus says the Lord of hosts, consider your ways. This is going to be what we're talking about this morning. Consider your ways. You have so much and bring in little. You eat, but do not have enough. You drink, but you're not filled with drink. You clothe yourself, but no one is warm. And he who earns wages, put them in a bag with holes. Thus says the Lord of hosts, consider your ways. Consider your ways is what he's telling us this morning. If you think you're going in the wrong direction, if things don't seem to be working the way that you think they should be, I'm talking about in your spiritual life, and maybe even in your physical, material, financial life. Consider your ways. That's the first thing we should always do, is check ourselves. He's basically saying, examine your heart. Make sure you're in the right place. Now let me give you a little bit of historical background about what's happening here. The Jewish people have been in exile for over 60 years. Daniel ran across a prophecy of Jeremiah's that said that they would be there for about 70 years, and then God would allow them to return. But for over 60 years, when we come to this place, they have been in exile in Babylon. This happened in three different phases. 605 B.C., Nebuchadnezzar came and overran Jerusalem. He installed a vassal king, and he took many of the brightest and scholarly people to Babylon to be in his court. Because, you know, one of the things about Nebuchadnezzar was that he didn't just walk in and wipe out nations. His desire was to make them servants to his kingdom. And he would allow them freedom of their religion, in most cases. He would allow them freedom of commerce. And he would allow them great freedom to come and go as they please, as long as they remained loyal to him. In 605 BC, he set up that principle, and he took some of the leaders, some of the wise people, particularly young men like Daniel and his three friends, who probably, and most historians believe and Bible scholars believe, that Daniel went in that first wave, 605 BC. So he was there during this period of time. Well, things went well for a while until about 597 BC, and they rebelled again, Jerusalem. Nebuchadnezzar sent his forces, took the king out, took some more of the people, and allowed the people to stay. Thought they'd learned their lesson. They hadn't, because in 586 BC, they rebelled one more time, and Nebuchadnezzar had had enough. That's when he went in with his total forces, destroyed, killed many, many people, destroyed their city, and not only their city, but destroyed the temple. So they no longer had a place. They no longer had Jerusalem, and they no longer had the temple. And the Jewish people needed the temple for sacrifice. So their religion was just sort of put on hold. Now, history tells us that they managed to continue to worship and continue to hold themselves together as a people. And that's what we're looking at this morning. By 539 BC, Babylon, and it was also prophesied, was overrun by the Medes and the Persians. In 538 BC, Cyrus, the king of Persia, Medes and the Persians, became the ruler. Not long after that, he was shown a prophecy that was over 100 years old, that he would, given by Isaiah, that he would be the one that would allow the Jewish people to go back to their homeland, to Jerusalem, and rebuild the city and rebuild their temple. 100-year-old prophecy. Now, I know, listen to me, there is no way that this can be proven to be false. This is history. 100-year-old prophecy was given to him. Isaiah spoke Cyrus' name 100 years before he walked on the face of the earth. Incredible, isn't it? I don't know. I know you guys aren't impressed, but this kind of stuff impresses me. I get really impressed when I see what the Word of God says and how prophecy, God gives prophecy hundreds of years before it happens, and boom, takes place just like he said it would. In 538 BC, Cyrus responded to that word, and he allowed the Jewish people to return to their homeland. And a group led by Zerubbabel left Babylon and went to Jerusalem to rebuild. Upon arriving in Jerusalem, they began to restore the temple. They laid the foundation. They built an altar. That was the first order of business, lay the altar. You know why they had to lay the altar? Because the altar was the place where they would sacrifice animals. They wanted to get back to worshiping the living God the way he told them to. So they built an altar, and they started to sacrifice, and they started going through the ceremonies, and they started laying the foundation, and they started getting some opposition. How many have ever decided you're going to do something for God and you get some opposition? Glory. Opposition is just part of doing God's will. If you're not being opposed, you're probably not in God's will. The enemy wants to stop whatever God has called you to do. I don't care whether it's business. I don't care whether it's something in your family. I don't care if it's relationships. I don't care if it's church. It doesn't matter. It's all spiritual. Don't buy into this lie that we can separate our secular life from our spiritual life. It's not true. Everything we do is spiritual. When you get up tomorrow morning, you're just as spiritual, or at least you should be, as you are sitting here this morning. Nothing should change in your life. When you go out there to do business of any kind, whether you're a tradesman or you're working in a department store, you have a business of your own, you are the most spiritual person in your area. And God is expecting you to be an example for His kingdom. And I want to tell you something. I expect you, as the pastor of Bethel Worship Center, to be an example for Bethel Worship Center. You see, those people out there that you do business with, that you come in contact with, most of them don't care whether you go to church or not. They could care less. But what they do care about is your character. What they do, if somebody has hired you, they hired you because they believe you're going to do the job and do it with integrity and a proper character. Amen? No matter, if you put a bid in to do a job, you're a businessman, and you say you're going to do this thing, and you're not going to do that thing, you better do it. Because you are an example of the kingdom of God. You are an ambassador for Christ. And not only that, you reflect Bethel Worship Center wherever you go. And that concerns me. So I speak hard things like this to you, so that when you are in a situation where you have to make a decision about what is morally correct or ethically correct, you'll make the right decision because the kingdom of God is on the line. It may not seem like the best thing to do. It may seem like telling a little lie would be better. It may seem like fudging just a little bit would be better. But the reality is, if you will do the right thing, the outcome will be correct for the kingdom of God. All right, I kind of got off base there, and I apologize for that. Let's get back on track here. Opposition arose. And they did okay for a little while, but then after 2 years, it was just too much. It was too much pressure. They were being opposed on every side. And to make things worse, Cyrus the king had died, and a new king, Darius, who was not necessarily in direct support of what they were doing, came to power. So gradually, now listen, it didn't happen overnight, but gradually they stopped working on the temple. And they started focusing on their own lives. That's where he says to them, "Is it time for you yourself to dwell in your paneled houses and this temple to lie in ruins?" You've been focusing on, you got to this point where you got off track, and now you're just focusing on yourself. You're not focusing on the Lord's will any longer. It's time to get back to that. It's time to recognize the time has come to move back into building God's house. You're the temple of the Holy Spirit. So he tells them this. Haggai says this, "The Lord of hosts says, consider your ways." The Lord of hosts. You know what that's literally saying to us? Just like that song that we sang this morning. The God of angel armies. That's what it says, Lord of hosts. The God of angel armies is saying to you, consider your ways. And that's what I'm saying to you this morning. Consider your ways. Now, in order to understand what he's telling them to consider, we would have to go into Ezra and read a whole lot of what took place in Ezra. Ezra was a scribe. Ezra's book covered over 60 years of history. The first part of it, it has to do with this time frame of Haggai and Zechariah, particularly what Haggai is saying. It covered a few years in that period of time. Ezra was not alive at that time. He was a historian, he was a scribe, so he wrote down historical facts and things that happened, and he also copied scripture. So this was his responsibility. So he went back to things that happened before his time and wrote them down so that it would be in it'd be historically verified about what took place. So as we go back to Ezra, here's the things that I pull from this. I want you to read Ezra chapter 3, or you can read the whole book, and you can verify what I'm saying to you. Don't just take my word for it, but here's what I think that he told them to do when it came to considering their ways. First of all, he said, consider your ways. Consider your worship. I believe that's what he's saying to his people today. Consider your worship. They immediately started building the temple, immediately started sacrificing and doing all the things that God told them to do. But somewhere along the line, they just started going through the motions. I'm sure they were still doing some of this stuff, but they were just going through the motions. Just like we sometimes just go through the motions. Sunday after Sunday, we come in here, and we're just going through the motions. And like I said, I'm not condemning anybody. We can all get to that point where, you know, is this ever going to be over? I wish that guy'd shut up so we could go home, go get lunch. But what I'm trying to instill in you is some reality of where we are in our life. Consider your worship. Are you really worshiping the living God, or have you gotten to the point where all the things of life, family, children, and God knows children take a lot of time and effort. Hallelujah. I heard Jensen Franklin say that we know for sure that insanity is hereditary. Because we all get it from our teenagers. Amen. Interesting. But our life will take us in different directions sometimes, and gradually we just start moving away from. Consider your worship. I don't care what you have to do to truly get into a mode of worship. It's at home. Do it. Make sure you find that place, that music, or that time that you need to worship, to really get back to that place of worship. Because that's one of the things I believe that he was saying to them. Consider your worship. The second thing that I think he told them was consider your giving. You see, they all gave abundantly in the beginning. They gave gold, they gave silver, but they gave something else that I think was probably a lot more valuable to them than just their gold and silver, and that was clothing. They gave pieces of clothing in order to be used in the temple worship. Now this is, you know, for us, it's really hard for us to comprehend because, you know, if we want a piece, if I want a new sweater, which I probably should buy a few, I just go to the store and pick out what I want. There it is. You know, I got to get my right size. These days, you have to try everything on because it comes from all over the world. But you just go buy it. It didn't happen that way back then. You could buy some items. But usually you had to order your clothing from somebody who was a tailor, and they made it. Now here's the interesting thing is they only had two sources of clothing. They had wool and they had linen. And linen was made out of flax. And flax had to be, they had to strip it, they had to wet it, they had to dry it, and they had to make string out of it. It was a long, grueling process. And then they had a loom, a hand loom, that they would put it on and weave it together. I don't know exactly how looms work, but somehow they would just weave that all together. It was time-consuming to make any article of clothing and a piece of cloth. So every small piece of cloth was very, very valuable to these people. And not only that, in the worship, they needed blue, purple, and violet in the temple. These were not everyday colors. It's not like, you know, we can just go buy a blue dye. They had to, let's take purple for instance. Purple was extracted from a predatory snail in the Mediterranean. And in order to get 1.4 grams of pure dye, it took 12,000 snails. Wow. Just a little bit. 12. Can you imagine these nasty snails? You had to go gather them up. How long it would take. Squeeze out that oil out of their body. To make 1.4 grams of pure dye. So you could see how valuable these things were to them. Initially, they started giving this stuff. Because their heart was right. Now listen to me. I want to make sure everybody understands that this is not a ploy to try to get you to give more. That's not why I'm preaching this. I don't have to do that. Everybody in this congregation, you're the most giving people that I know on the face of the earth. When somebody has a need, there isn't anybody in here that hesitates. Take their pocketbook out and give to whatever that need is. You're giving. But what I'm trying to say is, they were still giving, but what was the attitude of their heart when it came to giving? Their attitude had changed. They were just, once again, they were just kind of going through the motions of things. The New Testament tells us this. Second Corinthians chapter 9, verse 7. So let each one give as he purposes in his heart, not grudgingly or of necessity, for God loves a cheerful giver. When it comes to giving, are we really cheerful about our giving? Listen, Tammy and I have been tithers for a long, long time, almost from the beginning of our salvation. We just believed what the Word of God said, and we started doing it. And you know, it can kind of get to the point where you just kind of go through the motions of doing it. You know, there's no question that we're going to tithe. We believe that's what we're going to do. We do it every week. And if God blesses us with an extra income, first thing we do, we're going to tithe on that. We got some extra income recently, and Tammy looked at me, and she's just jokingly. She said, do we have tithe on this? She knew the answer. Of course. If we want God's continued blessings. But you know, if we're not careful, we just do those things automatically instead of really thinking about what we're doing. Why am I doing this? I'm doing it because I want to serve God. I'm doing it because I want to please my Father. I'm doing it because I want my heart to always be right. I want to be a cheerful giver. I don't want to put that money in the offering plate or however you give. I don't want to do it begrudging. I want to say, well, okay, God, it's yours. No, I want to do it and be joyful about it, knowing that it's going into the kingdom of God to make a difference. I want you to feel that way here at Bethel Worship Center. I want you to know that when you give, we're going to do what we say we're going to do with this money. We're going to build the kingdom of God. We're going to touch people's lives. We're going to make sure that this place is taken care of so that we can continue to worship here. We're going to give abundantly into missions, both domestic and overseas. We're going to make sure that babies' lives are saved because we give to the Crisis Pregnancy Center. We're going to make sure that homeless people are taken care of because we give to Good Works Homeless Shelter. We're going to make sure that kids are fed in Haiti because there's a ministry there that we support. In Africa, because there's ministry there that we support. Domestically, when somebody has a need in this area, we give. We make sure people's needs are met. I want you to know that you're giving. You can give with a joyful heart because you know it's making a difference in the lives of people. And by the way, you're supporting me and my family when you give. I appreciate that very much. I want you to know. I don't take that lightly. You work hard for your money. I understand that. And I appreciate every dollar that you place in this ministry. Every giving that you give. When you give, you know, not too long ago we had Pastor Appreciation Month. And people, you know, I don't know that anybody really said that it was Pastor Appreciation Month. Just people saw that it was and gave to us. What a blessing. Thank you. Thank you for the gifts that you give us at Christmas time. Thank you for being obedient. Thank you. I know I receive those gifts with joy, but I believe that you also give with joy. Consider your giving. Because that's what he told them. That was part of what they had to do, was to consider their worship, consider their giving. Because it was part, everything is bound together in our life. And if we can't do it God's way, we're going to be doing it our way. And let me tell you something, I have enough experience with doing it my way. I mess it up. I always mess it up. But if I do it God's way, it works. Consider your ways. Oh, my goodness, it's 12 o'clock. All right, last thing I want to say to you this morning. Consider your focus. They all gave their time, their talents, their work. They laid the foundation of the temple. Their focus was on God's work. But over time, their focus left God's work and started focusing on their life, making themselves a comfortable place to live, and having plenty to eat, having a comfortable, nice lifestyle. Consider your focus. What are you focused on? As I said earlier, it's easy to get off track because we have so many demands on us. You know, if we have... we have to have a place to live. We have shelter. We have to have a vehicle to drive to work. We have to work. We have to take care of our kids. We have, you know, if they're playing in sports, we have to go here and there. If they're doing anything extracurricular, whether they're in band or whatever it is, we have to go in different directions. Life gets crazy. I know that. Now, it's not quite as crazy for Tammy and me. Because we don't have kids at home any longer. But we have experienced that in the past. We know what it's like. Life can be really crazy, but it's important that you have someone like me up here telling you, get your focus back on God. Bring your focus back. I know you've got all kinds of responsibilities. I know you've got difficulties. I know you have to work overtime sometimes, but bring your focus back to God. Always keep your focus on Him. And that's what He was telling the people. Stop working on your paneled house. You got a beautiful home, but look, the house of the Lord is falling down. Remember, we're the temple. And if we don't keep this thing in repair inside, our relationship with the Lord, everything else will fall apart. You'll look around one day and say, what happened? Just what in the world happened to my life? Consider your worship. Consider your giving. Consider your focus. And when we do that, and we put it back on the God of angel armies. He is always on our side. No matter where we are, no matter what we're doing, He is going to make a way for you. You may have some opposition now, but if you keep your focus on your, if you keep your, you consider your worship, you consider your focus on your lifestyle, you consider your giving, if you do those things, God will be on your side. He's always on your side. I could tell you that. He's never left you. He'll never leave you nor forsake you. But He will make a way when it doesn't look like there's a way. It doesn't matter who opposes you. Listen, people will oppose you. I've been opposed all my ministry. There's always been somebody who has opposed what I felt like God wanted me to do. And sometimes I felt like just saying, okay, God, that's enough. I can't take it anymore. You know, He always speaks to me and says, who do you trust? Do you trust me? Do you trust what they're saying? Who are you going to put your trust in? Who are you focusing on? You're going to be opposed wherever you go and with whatever you do in the kingdom of God. Rise up and let God work on your behalf. Stand with me. Let me show you what God can do for you, no matter what you're going through right now. It may seem like things are falling apart, but I want you to know God has a plan. If you'll consider your worship, you'll consider your giving, you'll consider your focus, God will bring things into focus for you in such a clear way that you'll look back and say, well, how could I have ever doubted God? In the 1860s, there was a gentleman, a very shrewd businessman by the name of Thomas Green Ryman. And he was in the Tennessee area. And he knew how to make money. He had a fleet of riverboats, and they had gambling on them and alcohol, and this guy was making money hand over fist. And into his city came a gentleman by the name of Sam Jones. Sam Jones was a different kind of guy. He was a preacher of the gospel. He would set up tents all over the city, and sometimes he'd be arrested for doing it. But he had set up tents, and he would preach the gospel, and he preached salvation, and he would preach the power of God. And people would come to the realization that they needed a Savior, and they'd get saved. And many of them would turn from gambling and drinking. Well, Ryman didn't pay much attention to Sam Jones at first, but when people stopped coming to his riverboats and spending money, it got his attention. I want you to understand something. We're going to get the attention of some people that maybe we don't necessarily think we want their attention. But God has a plan. And what happened was that Ryman decided he was going to take some of his thugs, and they were going to go to Sam Jones' tent meeting, and they were going to heckle him. And when they got there, Ryman was, for some reason, kind of quiet. And he started listening to what Sam Jones had to say. And Sam Jones told him to repent and turn from his ways and turn to the living God. And Thomas Ryman received Jesus Christ as his personal Savior. It changed the history of that area. Because from that point on, Thomas Ryman used his money for the kingdom of God. He actually built a cathedral. If I can remember the name of the cathedral. the Union Gospel Tabernacle. That's what they called it. It was a cathedral, a beautiful cathedral that Ryman built with his money, and Sam Jones preached in it every week, people coming to Jesus Christ. Now, it's really important historical place, because not only was that Union Gospel Tabernacle, but they also held the, what's the country music? Grand Ole Opry, yes, in that building. They also held the Grand Ole Opry there for many, many years. After Ryman passed away, Jones decided that he wanted to rename the place, and they call it the Ryman Auditorium, and it's known by that today. But the point of this is for you to understand that it may look like we have opposition, but God is well able either to take it out or turn it in our favor. Whatever is going on, God is able. Our responsibility is this: consider everything in our life. Look inside. Consider your heart. Are you where God wants you to be this morning? Bow your head, please. Father, I just praise you and thank you for touching your people. Hallelujah. Thank you, Father. That you hear your word, and your word goes forth. And when we speak your word, Father God, in faith believing, touches lives. This morning, Father, I'm just asking that you minister to your people. I believe there's many in here who have come to a decision this morning that they're going to focus back on you. They're going to consider their worship. They're going to consider their giving. They're going to consider the focus of their life. And they're going to make you a priority. Father, we just thank you that today we are able to lift up your name in your word. And I ask that you touch the lives of the people in here this morning. Lord God, as we go forth in 2016, it is a new year. It's a new day. It's a new focus. And we're going to accomplish your will this year. Thank you, Father, for guiding and directing us always. In Jesus' name, amen. Hallelujah. Have an awesome day. If you'd like prayer for healing, please come up. I'd like to ask our prayer warriors to come up, please. Anybody who would like to have special prayer.
Hello, this is Pastor Rob Barber, and I trust you've been blessed by this week's podcast. Our desire here at Bethel is to connect you to the kingdom of God with inspired and anointed teaching. If you like this teaching and would like to know more about our ministry here at Bethel, please visit our website at bethelwc.org.